welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dr. Jacob Woodruff, Head of Technology Scouting and Partnerships with EMD Electronics, where he works to find and advance external early stage and disruptive technologies in the semiconductor and display material space. Dr. Woodruff is an experienced technologist, having managed R&D groups developing semiconductor deposition materials at EMD Electronics. Previously at ASM, Jacob led ALD process technology teams, and at SunPower and NanoSolar, he managed R&D labs and developed processes for solar cell manufacturing. He holds a master's in material science and engineering and a PhD in physical chemistry from Stanford University. Welcome to the podcast, Jacob.
Thanks, Daniel, for having me on.
The first question I always ask is, what first brought you to the semiconductor industry?
So my experience in semiconductor technology first started while I was at university, you know, in the heart of Silicon Valley, which is Stanford University. So I was a PhD student in physical chemistry. I was looking for a nanotechnology project, which would marry my interests in computers and chemistry and inventing. So I found this project researching semiconductor nanowires, so germanium and silicon nanowires by CVD Growth in Chris Chidsey's group in chemistry. And because Stanford is a very collaborative place, I had the opportunity to be co-advised and work weekly with students and professors such as Paul McIntyre in material science and professors Yoshio Nishi and Philip Wong in electrical engineering. So that was a lot of fun, you know, working with these different teams, and you know, gave me kind of the fundamentals to, you know, what these semi problems were, how devices worked, how processes for depositing materials for these devices worked, and obviously all the classwork that goes along with that. I also had some research projects funded by the Semiconductor Research Corporation, which you know I'm now still participating in as part of EMD Electronics as an advisor. And we had mentors as part of that program, such as Ted Kamens from HP. So just really a rich ecosystem, you know, to develop somebody in the semi space. So straight out of school, you know, like many in the semi industry during that time, I worked several years in the solar industry, you know, which was a lot of fun working in a startup and then a more established company. But I'd say I really cut my teeth in semi when I joined ASM, you know, which is a major semi tool manufacturer. And there I had, you know, experience developing novel processes for customers such as Intel and Micron, and really started to understand and see what it took to co-develop materials, processes, and integration schemes for these advanced type of devices.
That's a great story. You know, I was born and raised in Silicon Valley, and there just wasn't a question. You know, we were going to go into the high tech industry, and at the time, you know, at the time, computers for me, it was in the early 80s. Computers were booming, and you know, it just we all wanted to go to work for computer companies because we wanted our own computer. And back then, they were $1 million, so we had to make them smaller so we can all afford them. But yeah, Silicon Valley was a really, really nice place to get educated. So you're now the head of technology scouting and partnerships with EMD Electronics. That sounds very interesting. So, but first let's start by having you tell us a little bit about EMD Electronics, because we're probably not all familiar with it.
Sure. So at EMD Electronics, we say we are the company behind the companies advancing digital living. So again, you know, that highlight that we are supporting this industry, although maybe not the name that everybody's familiar with. However, you know, while EMD Electronics is a brand name that's new, and I would say in the last year, chances are that you have our materials in your pocket right now, and are actually accessing this podcast through our materials. So we are the electronics business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany, which is a 350-year-old family-owned company. With businesses that are also in pharmaceuticals and life science. So within electronics, we have three main business units. The longest lived one is in display materials. And there we really pioneered and led LCD materials for displays, and now produce OLED materials as the displays transition to new materials. We also have a successful full business called Surface Solutions, which provides pigments and active ingredients that are used in cars, food, and cosmetics. But at the heart of semiconductors, we have a semiconductor solutions unit, which includes semi materials and a unit called delivery systems and services, which is works and delivers hardware in the fabs that deliver the materials to the tools and the services to enable them. But in semiconductor materials, we play in all the major process steps required to make logic and memory chips. So from thin film deposition materials, such as ALD and CVD precursors, to spin-on materials and spin-on dielectrics. We also have patterning materials and lithography materials. We have materials in planarization around chemical mechanical polishing. And we also have etching and cleans. And we have a specialty gas unit, which works in dopants and other specialty gases to enable these microchips. And then lastly, at the end of that process chain, we have materials in packaging as well. So again, our materials are in all computers, cell phones, displays, but we had a recent rebranding of EMD Electronics to indicate our position beyond just materials, as we look to provide greater value to the electronics industry.
How is your company, through new materials advances, driving progress in the semiconductor industry?
So that's a really great question. And materials really are at the heart of the progress that's being made in the semiconductor industry. One of the ways the semi industry has continued to develop over many decades is shrinking to smaller and smaller pitch and lines through patterning. And EUV technology is that next generation of patterning technology. And we are working on materials that enable that process. But beyond just shrinking the current features and materials used, as we shrink to those smaller sizes, the current materials and the ability for those to behave in the same way breaks down. So we need to start looking at new materials that continue to allow for performance improvement. One example of this is in the conducting lines that connect up all the transistors and memory devices. Traditionally, originally it was aluminum, and then you went to copper, and then they started adding cobalt and tungsten at the thinner layers, which perform better. But these are becoming so small that the electrons start deflecting and bouncing off the surfaces and edges of these lines. So you need to look to new materials that perform differently, and we're moving to things like molybdenum and ruthenium, for instance. So beyond just shrinking these features and going to these new materials, we're also looking to go into the third dimension. So we're stacking transistors such as nano ribbons, and then even in the future going to CFET, where we're putting the NNP CMOS on top of each other. This is going to require completely different process and materials technology. The ability to deposit and etch selectively materials where you want them, rather than being able to pattern them on a 2D surface, right? And you need that in atomic control. So there's selective ALD processes and materials that we're developing around that. And there's also atomic layer etch capabilities that we're developing to control the removal of materials on the atomic scale.
Oh man, that's interesting. So what is your role in this?
So my role in this is, I'm from the CTO group, which sits above all of these business units, and we're really looking to inform and manage the fuzzy front end of the technology pipeline, which is 3 to 10 years out. And we support the business in that for current product extensions of current product lines and our customers, but also for generating new technology platforms that are not yet known, right? And my role in particular as head of tech scouting and partnerships is to bring value through finding and advancing external early stage and disruptive technologies. So seeing what's out there, partnering with people that are doing innovative things, and trying to leverage that for internal progress for new business opportunities internally, particularly around technology advancement. So one example of a partnership that we are engaging with that's new is with a startup incubator called Silicon Catalyst, which is in the Valley. And they're unique in that they focus solely on semiconductor solutions, and their tagline is, it's about what's next. So we're working with them closely to scout and screen startups in this space and these emerging, disruptive companies and entrepreneurial folks that are developing what's next.
Yeah, I work with Silicon Catalyst as well. I can definitely see the fit there. But, you must have a unique view on disruptive industry trends. I mean, you've probably seen a lot. What are some of the emerging areas that are of interest to EMD Electronics?
Yeah, so that is definitely, my focus. And, it's important to understand what is coming out there and then what aligns with our business and where we want to go. So our interests and the things that I focus on are aligned with our tech strategy. And some of the main areas that we focus on, obviously, around the semiconductor space, semiconductor material space, would be, those technologies that extend, the classic semi logic and memory progress, things like EUV technologies, so patterning technologies that move below, standard processing and patterning capabilities. We also are looking at areas that provide value outside of the classic material space. So things like consumables, metrology, things that improve yield and, provide value to our customers. One thing that is a recent trend is, other than just scaling and making things faster or having more density of data, chip manufacturers and integrators are putting these chips together in interesting ways to create new functionality and either that or better performance. And we call that heterogeneous integration. So understanding what is coming and needed to combine these different chips on the same system, being able to handle the movement of data and also manage the heat that's generated as you combine more compute power in a dense device, so thermal management materials, for example. Other technologies around compute, there is a lot of focus on how we continue to improve how we compute with these highly data intensive technologies such as AI and machine learning. And there are technologies around neuromorphic computing architectures and devices. Photonics is a very interesting topic that's really starting to take off. And then beyond the development of the hardware, also we're looking at how we develop these materials, how we develop these technologies, and in particular, enabling capabilities such as AI for R&D. So how do you do materials discovery? Can you use AI or machine learning, molecular modeling to improve the speed at which we can provide solutions to this industry? We obviously have interest in our display technologies, so any emerging display technologies, which include OLED materials, new applications for liquid crystals, but also a new, totally new space, which is really hot right now, around augmented reality and virtual reality or the metaverse. And what's really interesting here is, as it is a natural extension of our display materials into new display paradigms, it's also a very interesting space for semi. So these large companies, such as Meta, Microsoft, Apple, they're all developing these new hardware that will disrupt our current devices, such as, you know, the way that smartphones disrupted personal computing. We see that as the future. And these devices require custom silicon in order to efficiently and effectively overlay a digital representation on the real world. So that requires extremely high compute power, but also smarter computing. So with AI engines and lower power compute, because you want to wear these on your head. You don't want to generate a bunch of heat, heat up your face, and you also need to have longer battery life. Another topic, speaking around energy efficiency and the impact that our semiconductor industry has on the environment. Our company has a strong focus around sustainability. So this is core to our business. Being a family-owned business, we care about the future and our impact on humankind. And so we are looking at how we support sustainability in semiconductor materials, both for replacement to new materials, abatement, remediation, reuse, but also more energy efficient computing. Many of the trends that you see is that as our society becomes more dependent on the digital space and computing, you see larger and larger fractions of our energy use going into computing, whether it be from Bitcoin to various streaming capabilities. And so we're looking at how can we impact the future energy use and therefore the CO2 emissions by creating better processes, better materials, better devices that can be sustainable in the future.
That's really good to hear. I do work with some companies on green initiatives, and it's very important to me. I've been in the industry for 40 years, and I do look back on my career, and I hope we've made the world a better place, but we certainly have more work to do. There's a resurgence of deep tech startups in the Valley. So deep tech is, a lot about AI, but also computer vision, medical, everything. It's very broad, and it's surging in the world, and specifically in Silicon Valley. I've had a lot of guests on our podcast in relation to deep tech. How can startups engage with EMD Electronics?
We are very interested in collaborating with these emerging companies that are developing disruptive solutions to these major problems. And one immediate way that you can do that, I already mentioned our partnership with Silicon Catalyst. We will be doing a startup outreach campaign in Q3, so targeted at the end of July, early August, around scouting and finding those companies. So you can apply to meet with our leadership to discuss opportunities and how we can work together. We have a ventures arm, so a strategic venture arm with Merck. So Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. That venture arm is called M Ventures. So they have a $600 million fund to invest in startups that are aligned with our strategic interests. We also have a site in Silicon Valley that's focused around materials and device research. So that site and organization is called Intermolecular. And there's actually a startup accelerator program where you can work with them to prove out and develop your technology. And then if you have other ideas or other ways that you'd like to get in touch with us, I do have a collaboration page with my contact on it, and you can search Jacob Woodruff, EMD Electronics Collaboration, and find my page there.
That's great. Do you also attend the conferences? Will you be at SemiCon West, for example, or the Design Automation Conference coming up?
We do have quite a bit of representation at SemiCon West, and we can definitely have people set up and meet with you there. I am regularly at other industry conferences, and it's been great to meet people in person as things have opened up, and you really see the value of these direct connections.
Yeah, I've been attending conferences live now this year. I've maybe attended six or so, and maybe they're not as full as they used to be, but they are very full and very interactive, and it's really good. It just reminds me how important it is to meet with people face-to-face and network, you know, in the hallways and such. So I definitely hope to see you around sometime. This is a good time to end the podcast. Thank you, Jacob, for your time, and I hope to speak with you again as your business progresses.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.